On the show today, we have Web Strategies, very own Chris Leone and Brandon Fry in part two of their Rise of Digital Marketing for Today's Credit Unions and a Budget Breakdown. So in part two, we talk about the budget breakout across different digital channels, and then we talk about what metrics are most effective in securing more budgets. Check it out. Well, that leads me to my next question, though, is like, you kind of alluded to this earlier, Chris, is like, how does it break down across different digital channels? So, or what are these different channels that we're talking about here?
Yeah, we've got several, and let's think of it as maybe three different buckets. Okay. So we've got your owned channels, your paid channels, and your earned channels. Mm-hmm. So your owned channels are things like your website, your email, your mobile app. These are spaces online that you have 100% jurisdiction over, total mm-hmm. control. You can make it look and say whatever you, however you'd like.
Yeah. Okay?
So those are your own platforms. Then we have our paid platforms, which are the advertising platforms. So display ads, social media ads, video ads, search ads at the top of Google or Bing. That's second bucket, paid channels. And then finally, you have your earned channels. So earned channels are places, real estate that you don't control, but you can earn your spot on them, right? So earning rankings on Google, earning a good social media following, right? Those are really powerful, high ROI channels, but you don't control them. You've earned your spot there, and you can also lose your spot there, okay? So these all have pros and cons, right? So again, just to recap, you have owned platforms, paid and earned. Those are the three. Now, how does the budget get split out amongst those?
Yeah.
Pretty evenly. All right. So maybe like a third. Maybe you put a little bit more into the owned platforms, like your website, your email platform, your mobile app. Those tend to command a bit more of the budget. They're expensive places to be, but they're also super, super important, right? Because they are your home. Again, you have total control over these things, and they don't just serve a marketing purpose. They also serve existing members. So there's a lot riding on the reputation of those as well. Your reputation, I should say, is riding on those quite a bit. So, maybe you got about 40% of digital marketing budget on those platforms, and then, 30% on your paid channels, your advertising channels, 30% on your earned channels, or so. Again, these are kind of rough breakdowns, but it's a good place to start, and then start to detail it through there, either with your digital specialist or your agency, who can kind of navigate you through how to get that to a more detailed level. But I do want to stress the absolute importance of diversifying this, okay? And there's a lot of reasons for this, but just to kind of run through it real quick.
Sure.
Let's say you are over-reliant on earned channels. So you're over-reliant on a social media channel, or you're over-reliant on having really good Google rankings. The problem with that is that you are at the whim of Facebook and Google and their algorithms. And if tomorrow they decide, hey, we're going to change how often we show your posts or how we rank websites, things can just flip for you overnight. And this happens a ton in the content creation world, right? You have YouTubers, content creators, where all of a sudden Facebook says, hey, we're not going to show your post as much as we did before. In fact, we're only going to show it a tenth as much as we used to show it before. Oh, so that decimated people who were really getting their attention on Facebook. Similarly with YouTube, content creators who were earning a living off of YouTube advertising revenues, YouTube decided one day, hey, we're going to cut that in half, right? So over-relying on these platforms that you don't have total control over, bad idea, but certainly important places to be. Mm-hmm. Now, similarly with advertising, if you're just all in on advertising and you kind of neglect the earned channels and you don't put a lot of attention into your website, first of all, there's a lot of problems with that, obviously. But the other piece of it is there's no legacy there. The day you stop paying for ads is the day you stop generating traffic and the day you stop generating loan applications. So it's a very on-off thing. Again, very important place to be, but you don't want to be overly reliant on it. And then finally, earned, very important place. Again, I think this should get more budget collectively than the other two. But the problem with that is if you're over-reliant on your website and your app and your email marketing and that's it, mm-hmm. well, how are people going to find you? You're only catering to those who are already there, right? So you have to be in the earned and the paid space in order to bring those people in. So, you know, roughly speaking, 40%-ish of your budget goes to the website, the app, email marketing, and your marketing automation platform, total control over those. And then 30% roughly going to advertising, 30% roughly going to the earned channels. That's a good place to start. And then you can start, you can detail it a little bit more from there, you know, with people who can get into the details with you.
I like that breakdown. It's kind of like a nice recipe to follow, if you will.
And before this, I get to the picture that,
Yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there. Hey, let's talk about metrics. What metrics are most effective in securing more budget here? Because you got to convince the higher ups to get this stuff done, right? So you got to have the research, in this case, the metrics, the information, the data. So Brandon, so what metrics are most effective in securing a more, a more of a budget here, I guess. And Chris, I can pose that to you as well.
Yeah, Michael, I think that's a really great question that I think every marketer, regardless of credit union industry or not, should be asking.
Yep.
And I think it leads to kind of the issue that we have to solve as a marketing team, which is, how do I definitively show, or at least try to definitively show, the value that the budget I'm spending brings in?
Because
then you can go to your C-suite and say, hey, we as a marketing team ran these campaigns and we got X from it. So in order to be more definitive with what you're bringing in, you need to be able to track and report on metrics like cost per application, or cost per lead, cost per funded loan. Those are, you're basically figuring out how much you're spending to get an individual into your system, or to get business back from that person that you're advertising to. And we did a survey of credit union marketers, and I think of the ones that we surveyed, less than 25% of credit unions are actually tracking member acquisition cost. So it's a very small percentage can actually kind of get these numbers, but it is possible with the right technology, the right tracking, and the right reporting. Like you can get to that level. So I think gone are the days where you can go to your C-suite and say, all right, we drove this much traffic to the website, we got this many impressions from our advertising or social media campaigns. And that alone isn't going to convince them to give you more budget. You really have to get more, like kind of further down the funnel to those business metrics where someone actually opens up an account or gets a loan funded. And if you can tie that back to your campaigns, you can get true like ROI metrics or ROAS, return on ad spend. And we've heard from our clients countless times that when a director or a VP of marketing kind of takes these metrics, this is what actually proves to the senior leadership that, they don't know all the things that go into digital marketing or marketing in general. But when you can say, hey, we spent this and we got this, like you can't argue with that as long as it's accurate. So those are some of those metrics that we encourage our clients to be talking about.
Yeah, that's good information. Yeah, they want that bottom line for sure. So yeah. Chris,
and it's not easy to get there, right? This is where the technology challenge comes into play. And it's something that, our team here has worked so hard on and still bump up against things at times. And some LOS platforms have been, more helpful in allowing us to do this, but you're talking about integrating data from multiple systems and carrying data through multiple systems. And it becomes more of a technology challenge than anything else. But we're starting to crack the code for some of the clients, and it's really lighting things up and changing the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I keep thinking about this because coming out of a pandemic or coming out of what we just experienced, this might be the right time to do something like this, right? Because we're all looking for new avenues and new channels and new ways of getting or capturing the consumer's attention. And so digital marketing is obviously working. Many industries have proven that it's working, and credit unions are now proving that it's working. So you just got to have that, like we were talking with Brandon, got to have that bottom line number to get that needle moving, right?
And you have to believe that the biggest competitors that credit unions are facing are doing this.
Of course.
Because they're so digitally and technology savvy. Their whole platform is technology, right? Their whole thing is digital. And so, knowing how these companies think, they have this visibility. So they're outsmarting they're going to outsmart credit unions. They're more informed. And furthermore, if you have that whole chain, that whole line of data and communication established, so you know we spent this, we got this, and there's a feedback loop involved in that, then you can start to apply these technologies of the future, AI, machine learning, to look through that and mine insights that us feeble humans cannot, right? But that's where this is, I mean, it's almost like they're collecting all the brush for the bonfire they're gonna you know, build. And they're collecting a lot of it, meaning data. Yeah. And as soon as they unleash some of these technologies on the future on it, they are going to outsmart credit unions who are doing it in a more manual way, 10, 100-fold. And that's a part of the future that really concerns me, is not creating full perspective views of membership and journey from marketing all the way through to becoming a member. It's so critical to harness the technology of the future.
Should you also, I'm glad you mentioned what your competitors are doing, or what the online neobanks are doing. Should you bring that information into that particular meeting as well, as you're addressing the metrics and the bottom line?
Hey, this is what they're doing. Look, even as a CEO, like, I'm not the guy who obsesses over competitors. My thing is always like, do your thing the best that you possibly can, but you can't ignore the fact that a potential customer, remember, in this case, is looking at you in the context of the alternative, right? So why you? Yeah. And they're going to look at the other options. And if you just don't, if you're not the viable option, or someone else is out competing you in any number of ways, then it doesn't matter how good you are doing it your way, you're going to lose. Yeah. Right. So you have to be aware of what the potential member is seeing in their journey. Yep. This is why when I was speaking at conferences before COVID, I would always ask the crowd, I said, who here has set up an account with an online only bank? And in a room of 200 people, you might see like five. And that just breaks my heart, because you need to experience what your members are experiencing, so you can wise up to it and say, well, how do we compare to that? If we can't achieve that from a technology perspective, what is our alternative? How are we going to compete? Because as the saying goes, if you can't compete, don't compete, right? I think I butchered that. But like, if you don't have a competitive advantage, don't compete.
I get it.
Right. And so in the user experience world, you have to know what they're going through, and you have to figure out how you're going to compete alongside of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, guys, I could talk all day about this type of stuff. Oh my gosh. It's so fascinating. So fascinating. So I appreciate the time that you guys have given us today. But last question, anything else to wrap up here, Brandon? I'll let you go first. Any final thought? Well, I don't want to say final thoughts, because this is continuing to evolve, but for the sake of today's conversation, any thoughts to kind of wrap up?
We may have said this before, on probably one of our previous sessions, but to me, I think it all comes back to the data that you have and being able to prove what you're doing, and making smarter decisions. Yeah. So we know other credit unions and financial institutions are doing this, but, to me, getting the fundamentals in place will allow you to then analyze your data and analyze what you're doing on a campaign level, and then figure out what's working and what's not. If you don't have that, you're kind of shooting in the dark.
Got that right.
Because you're going to be using, metrics that don't really prove, the value of what you're bringing. So I would definitely start there.
Yep. I agree. That's great, great foundation from which to build on. Chris, any final thoughts there?
One principle just to understand here, especially as the competitive landscape continues to evolve, is this just relationship between share of voice and your market share. If you have more competitors coming in who are becoming more visible than you are, you're going to lose that market share. So you can't think in terms of doing what you've always done and thinking it's going to hold, because your market share is going to slip if you have more people, advertising more frequently than you in front of your audience. So sorry about that. Apologize about that. Just understanding that relationship, I think, is super, super important. Finally, check out what's going on with your email open rates. iOS 15 dropped about 8 days ago or so. And as a result, open rates might be getting a little funky for you, but there isn't any hard data on this out yet. We're looking at it, and Michael will bring it to you once we have it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But if you send emails frequently, or you have workflows set up that are resending emails based off of engagement rates, that it could be really disturbed right now because of some changes Apple made. We talked about that in a previous episode. If you haven't watched it, go check it out. So now's the time to start paying attention to that.
Indeed. Yeah. For those sending out emails every day, check it out for sure. Going to have some effect on it. Definitely. All right, you guys. Again, we could talk about this until, you know, the cows come home, but I know you guys got work to do, so I don't want to keep you from your jobs, but appreciate it. Super fascinating stuff here. So look forward to the next conversation as always. But in the meantime, keep up the good work, guys. Well done.